What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps talking Season 1, Episode 21, Contemporary American Poultry. I'm Josh Wiggler, and I am joined here by someone who is not my family, but certainly my family in italics, Jess Sterling. Jess, oh my God, here we are.
We're here. We've made it to the Chicken Fingers episode again. Revamped post patron experience, ground zero, what, podcast zero?
Yeah, season zero is what we call that.
Season zero.
Let's set this up. Okay, so community building, we podcast about community every week. Jess has seen it 1,000 times. I'm seeing it for the first time here, with some exceptions, because before we launched community building into the main Post Show Recaps feed, it started as a Post Show Recaps patron exclusive podcast. By the way, if you're not a patron of Post Show Recaps, it's a terrific time to sign up as this podcast is being released. It's the start of a new month. You always want to sign up at the start of the new month. If you haven't signed up yet, consider doing so. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. Your support, it means the world to us. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps, because you get community building early in your podcast feed, and you also get to watch us record this live. We are currently recording this live on June 29th. In front of our familia in italics, bolded, underlined.
No strike through, though.
No, double strike through. I love a double strike through.
A double strike through?
Yeah, I think it's like it's excessive to a point that I find it incredible.
But aren't you like double crossing something out?
It's like you're negating that first strike through.
Oh, so it's a double negative.
Yes, I see. Exactly. It's but positive. it's still there. But like that second strike through is to let you know that you're good. You're in. You're safe. You're fine. Anyway, so we did this just for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. And one of the very first episodes that Jess showed me to convince me that I would love community and that podcasting about community would be a good idea. And obviously she was right. This was one of those first episodes, was Contemporary American Poultry, which led me to believe that every episode would be about Thanksgiving, but it wasn't. And I was liking community, and then I saw this episode, and I fell in love. This was the episode that that caused me to fall head over heels into the fried chicken basket, and I have just been frying up ever since. So I'm so psyched that we're here on like the actual weekly episodic rewatch. It's kind of crazy, Jess, that we have made it. What is this, 21 episodes into the thing?
Yeah, we are. I can't believe that we started this whole journey like back in what, like October for the patrons.
Yeah,
it's been a wild ride. I can't believe we're already here. We're so close to the end of season one, and I'm really psyched. Like I really like season one. But I'm just so stoked to get into season two, because it is by far, in my opinion, the best episode of Community. But this episode, I feel like, really gives you season two vibes. Like this is, I mean, beyond, you know, paintball, this is the episode that I think gives me the most season two vibes pre-season two. And it's firing on all cylinders. It's so excellent. I'm excited to revisit it now that you have, you know, 20 episodes of context versus, you know, a couple. And now that you really know these characters, so it's going to be a blast. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think my opinion has, if anything, it's only like I feel more emboldened, and this is my favorite episode of Community that I've encountered. Mm-hmm. And that includes the things that I've seen out of sequence. And I think that part of this is like seeing everything in sequence, but also knowing a little bit about what is ahead of me, that I feel like this is a very rich episode that helps double underline, although now that's taking out the underline. The dynamics that are in play and you know, certain character arcs that are going on, and definitely like format stuff, but being able to use the format to tell like very rewarding character centric stories. So I'm more head over heels in love with this episode than I was before. And I do think it's really fun to like check it out at this point mm-hmm. in the show, like linearly. Because, Jess, it is so different from everything that's come before. Like, I feel yeah. like we have, up to this point, we've had episodes that have, like, started, like, playing with the line of, like, getting into episodes that were more concept-based. Yeah. And this one is the first one that really goes all the way there. I don't think anything has come close to doing, like, the full-on Mafia episode.
No, I would say if anything, maybe like Intro to Stats, the first Halloween episode, kind of plays with that. But yeah, this one is definitely one of the first ones that is very genre heavy. And yet, like, even though it does give you full on season two vibes, I do also think it does still have that season one feeling of, okay, it's Jeff and Abed again. We've been here before. And they lean on it a lot in season one, but I also just feel like, I mean, I'm not gonna spoil my Miyama beans, but like, I feel like every single character is so on point in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, beyond maybe like Chang, who's kind of barely in it.
Chang's just there, but that means he's like gonna get like the baseline three from me, and that's like right. gonna set the standard. But like, even then, like, you know, going back to the wise words from Ben Taub several weeks ago of like, I think mm-hmm. like Chang is used really efficiently here to just yeah. like help like underscore the point that Abed is gaining power, and like,
yeah.
You know, the Chicken Alliance there is able to get them like some bumps in their scores over at Spanish. And like, that's it. And so that helps like serve like the idea of like strengthening Abed's growing chicken empire. Gus Fring is shook. You know, like, I think that that's awesome. So like, even then, like, yeah, I'll just give him like the basic three to tip that. But if that's like the worst that you get from a character this week, then that means that like everybody's doing like really, really, really well this week.
Right.
I love this episode. I really do. I think like last week we were talking about how like the episode is sort of like gesturing at like what season two might look like in The Science mm-hmm. of Illusion. But I just think that like the leap that it takes here feels enormous. Like, even from last week, I think that this just like catapults so far forward down the line of like what this show potentially can be, for me anyway. And I love it. I'm so happy. It's just us chickens this week. No guest, just you and me, Jess.
Yes, just us this week. And then obviously next week we'll be back to having a guest again. But I think it's interesting because looking at what we have to come, it really feels like they're like playing with things, right? They're like, they're experimenting with in season one, that we're already 21 episodes in. So it took them a little bit to kind of really get here. But then it's funny because you look ahead, we have the Art of Discourse and then Modern Warfare, which we covered on the Patreon, exclusive podcast. And yeah, it's interesting. They play with the format a little bit, and I think it takes them a little bit to kind of mess it around with a little bit to really, really nail it 1,000,000% in season two, especially considering the next episode we'll get there. I think that like it was a very steep decline off of the really high highs of this episode.
Oh no.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Of course, it definitely is. But I think this is like such a good example of like, even though I feel like it's a very Jeff and Abed heavy episode, every single character just has these funny moments. And it's such a good, obviously, like parody, homage, whatever you want to call it, to the Mafia movies.
It's called like an homage. I think it is. I think yeah. it's like, it's winking at all of that stuff. It's not just winking, it's taking that stuff.
Yeah.
And applying like the skeleton, the structure of a Scorsese mob movie. like taking Goodfellas, but doing it on Community. Like they've moved towards this before. Like we like kind of like went like a Perfect Storm a few weeks back with like the, you know, the course on like the boat and everything.
Yeah.
But this feels like a full commitment to let's make a mob movie, but it's an episode of Community.
Right. It's 22 minutes and it's very silly. Even to the point where we have like Sarbrins Leonard and Garrett involved in this episode in such minor moments. But like, to me, that's what Community is. It has these side characters included in all of that as well. And you'll see that a lot more as we go forward. But I just really appreciate the fact that like kind of everybody is firing on all cylinders in this episode. It's so nice. Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about contemporary American poultry. Originally aired April 22nd, 2010. Lead the way, Jess. Let's do the recap.
Yes, we are in the study hall. Troy is failing psychopharmacology because he thought it was a class about crazy farm animals. What a way to start.
That would be a great class. I would love to take that. Just like the history of like a bunch of like barnyard critters that went rogue.
I feel like it would definitely be like mad cow disease focused.
Maybe. Yeah.
Jeff doesn't want to be late to lunch. Britta asks Shirley how it's going with sexy dreadlock guy. Annie says he asked about her, and Abed clarifies that he asked, who is that?
Yeah, that's the question that he asked when asked about Shirley. The question is literally, who is that?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like a deal breaker. It could be like, who is that?
You know? I guess it depends on inflection. Who is like, that?
Who is that? Yeah, that's not great, good. But like, who is that?
Yeah.
You know, you want to know. Or
could
like
be.
It could just be, who's that? Just a genuine question.
Yeah. We don't know. We don't know the inflection. But Pierce says that Abed's social skills aren't streets ahead.
Here we are. Yeah. And like, you know, he could like Pierce could do like only bad from this moment forward. And he still would have contributed to the discourse.
Yeah. 1000%. Jeff tells him to stop trying to make streets ahead happen.
It's already happened. What is
coined and minted?
Coined and minted. Coined and minted should be a thing.
Should be a thing. Yeah.
Coined and minted is so good.
And Annie, of course, doesn't understand what is going on. So Pierce says that she's streets behind.
Streets behind. Don't they say miles ahead at one point? Too?
I'm pretty sure that's Annie asks if that's like what it is. Yeah, if that's what it means.
Ahead. Who's miles ahead? So Annie is streets behind. Everybody's like getting twitchy because they just want to get to the cafeteria for chicken fingers.
Yes, they keep running out. Britt is a vegetarian, which like everybody, of course you are.
So mean about it.
Yes. Britta gets pummeled this episode.
Yeah, she does. She really does just get trashed.
And I love this line of like Britta mentions she's feeling extra protective of animals because her cat is sick. No one's paying attention because crowds are just flooding to the cafeteria.
Yes.
Everyone except Shirley runs away to the cafeteria in the middle of Britta speaking. And Britta tells Shirley she can go. And she goes, God bless you.
God bless you. Save some for me. I remember watching this the first time and not fully catching like what was going on. Just like a flood of people running, being like, why is everybody running? Only to like come to realize that it was all of like this chicken finger panic. But like I hadn't picked up on it because they're talking about it. But like I didn't pick up on it as like this was the thing of the episode.
Yeah.
Really fun to rewatch this one. It's really great.
Yeah, we're now in the cafeteria. Troy and Jeff are in line. Troy says he hears the chicken fingers calling his name, but it's actually a woman down the line.
Troy.
Yeah. They run out of chicken fingers and Pierce is very upset. He calls the cafeteria worker a mute idiot, and it turns out she actually can't talk.
Yeah. What does he say? He says something as a follow-up there that I'm blanking on.
She hands him like a business card that says she can't talk.
Right. It's like, that'll get you far.
Yeah.
He's
horrible. He's so horrible.
Yep.
Shirley thinks the guy with dreadlocks is very cute. She says hello, but he just like completely ignores her.
Yeah.
Abed says the dreadlocks remind him of the predator, which is weird because Shirley is doing the hunting and she seems invisible to him.
Yes. And for those who don't know the predator is a hunter. He's an alien who hunts and oftentimes can be invisible. He has the technology. He has like armor. Highly sophisticated technology. You can like doop, 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 doop on his like little wrist pad computer thing and turn his whole thing invisible. That's broken, I think, by the time he's fighting Schwarzenegger at the end of the movie, or at least it breaks. It's really a significant matchup at the end of Predator, the two of them. Schwarzenegger on his own versus Predator with all of his gadgets. And it's a pretty fair fight, Jess.
Yeah, unfortunately for Shirley, she's not successfully hunting anything at this point.
Not yet.
He doesn't notice her at all.
I like Shirley's odds against the Predator. I think she could take the Predator out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's scrappy. She can do it.
I believe it.
Yeah. Britta tells Abed that before she talks, she thinks, what am I about to say? And how might it affect each person listening?
And Abed takes her down. I'm really glad you said that, Britta. The idea that you compulsively filter yourself makes your lack of flavor kind of a flavor.
He pulled a Cochrane and called her vanilla. Like, yeah. That's exactly what
it's almost an insult to the flavor vanilla.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. It's so brutal. Mean. She's the look on, I love Gilly Jacobs. The look on her face when he says that, it's just so good.
Vicious.
Troy tells the group they ran out of chicken fingers, and Jeff sees Starburns bringing chicken fingers to a group in the cafeteria. He's the one who works the fryers, and he's skimming fingers.
Yes, he's skimming fingers. And they don't like that. Britta doesn't even like that. She doesn't eat meat, but she's not going to eat that injustice.
Britta's like fully realized at this point, I think. Like everything she says is just spot on this episode.
Yes.
Annie wants to complain, but Jeff thinks that Starburns will just learn to be even sneakier. Yeah. He wants to get Starburns kicked out of the kitchen and replace him with someone in their group. Abed says, it's like a mafia movie.
Oh, it's like a mafia. And then we get the freeze frame as far back as I can remember. I always wanted to be in a mafia movie. So now we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're in a mafia movie. It has
the narration
begun.
Is so good. It's so well done.
It's really done. Just like the way the camera techniques are wielded in this episode, the freeze frame is perfect. Yeah. We're going to get a lot of like those like 360 shots of just like the room.
Yeah. The montages,
like the montage, like the sense of scope and scale and mythology and like the movement of time or lack thereof, like things like escalate really quickly. You probably imagine here, but it like gives you the sense of like months passing of them amassing their chicken finger empire's wealth. It's so delightful. It's so perfect. If you're not like a mob movie person, totally fine. But it can be, it's certainly a deeply loved genre. It's a genre that I came to relatively late, but Emily and I like love watching mob stuff now for whatever reason. We're just like really hooked in. So this definitely got me the first time I watched it. And just like since then, we've watched so many more. And it's so perfectly done. It just apes the style exactly right.
Yeah. I don't think you need to like necessarily be a mafia movie person to like enjoy this. I'm certainly not. The only mob movie I think I've really seen is The Godfather. And I watched that for the first time like last year.
Sure. Yeah.
I really loved it, but I just think like you can still appreciate what they're doing here.
You should Jess at some point watch Goodfellas, because like this movie is this episode is Goodfellas.
Is that the one with Joe Pesci?
Joe Pesci's in it. De Niro's in it. Ray Liotta is the main character. And there's a bunch of other people who bob and weave, like people that you find in a lot of these movies, a bunch of people who are going to have bigger roles in The Sopranos, Michael Imperioli.
Oh, I do like The Sopranos. I've seen The Sopranos.
Yeah. So like if you like Cousin Christopher, he has a very memorable role in Goodfellas. Yeah. So
that's the funny thing is I'm like extremely unspoiled on these movies. As much as like everybody knows they exist and kind of they're in like the zeitgeist, I don't know all the spoilers, so
sure.
I'll definitely have to watch it.
Cool.
So Jeff comes up with a plan. He wants Abed to be the fry cook because he's the one who has experience working in his dad's restaurant. Everyone seems to protest, but Jeff holds up his hand and they fall silent.
Yeah, it's working now. It'll stop working before it reboots.
Yes, and Abed is narrating. Back in those days, Jeff Winger was the guy that made things happen. He always knew what to say, and he always knew when to slap the table. Mm-hmm. And that's when Jeff, of course, slapped the table. At that moment, we stopped being a family and started being a family in italics.
Alex, so good. So good. So this is when we start seeing like how the plan went into effect. Britta gets close to Starburns.
Right.
Annie takes photos of Starburns skimming the fingers and giving them to Britta. They put down flyers for the they took down the flyers for the job after Starburns gets fired. Abed applies for the job and Pierce is Donald Trump as a reference.
Yeah. And he's in the same room, which is like, that is ballsy to sit in the same cafeteria, like 20 feet away and answer the phone and be like, Donald Trump, Trump Tower.
Oh my God. Nightmare.
Yeah, Troy applies in a Pharaoh costume.
Yeah, he says, and Troy even applied and gave the worst interview ever on purpose to make me look better. And he's just in the Pharaoh costume, and he's just like stone cold, staring straight ahead, unmoving.
Yeah, eyes wide open.
We have that emote in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. It does not get used nearly enough.
It needs to be used more.
Yeah,
going
we need to bring that out more.
So Abed gets the job. He started distributing chicken fingers. It was a glorious time. No more racing to the cafeteria. No more lines. To us, lines were for suckers, hacks, sheep. We were the wolves. We had the chicken to prove it.
And yeah, you see them, they're all like toasting the chicken fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Britta puts it down and like wipes the grease off her fingers on the table. It's such a good detail.
According to Gillian Jacobs, they actually were very greasy. I don't know if that's why she was doing it, but I like to believe that's what it was.
The chicken fingers, Jess, look fantastic, I have to say.
They make me, I remember when, I believe it was McDonald's, because they used to only have the chicken nuggets. And then they came out with like the strips. And I remember
those good
crunchy strips. Yes, they were so good. I love the like crunchy
strips. Yeah, I've never heard that before. Yeah, no, I guess that makes sense. I never heard it before, but I like that. We say, if you say chonky about a cat, I think you say crunchy about a chicken strip.
I think it makes sense. Yeah.
I think that tracks. Did your high school or elementary school have particularly memorable chicken fingers?
I feel like we had nuggets. I don't know that we had fingers. Yeah. What about yours? Did you guys have good chicken strips? Good chicken fingers?
I feel like we definitely talked about this in season zero, that like my summer camp legendarily had just like incredible chicken fingers. Mm-hmm. And like anytime like chicken fingers was on the menu and you walked into the cafeteria, the whole cafeteria would erupt in a call for chicken fingers to the table.
I remember this conversation because we talked about like cafeteria pizza, because pizza was the thing, because it had the stuffed crust.
It did. You know, cafeteria food, like it was like you were trapped. You had to eat it. You had no choice. And so like you had to like come up with like the things that you really, truly loved. And there were certain things. I loved my little pizza nuggets, like the tiny little pizza rolls that they served at the cafeteria. But I also just always loved a chicken product, like a fried chicken product in a cafeteria setting. I was pretty much always down for. Chicken patties were really where it was at for me. You got a chicken patty.
I wasn't a chicken patty person, but do you know what I just ate recently that actually still holds up? Are those like frozen chicken cordon bleu things?
Oh, I've never had one.
Oh, you never had chicken? Have you had like a frozen? Have you never had chicken cordon bleu in general?
No, I've had chicken cordon bleu probably a few times, but it's never something I've really sought out.
It's good. I mean, the frozen ones aren't as good as fresh, obviously, but throw that in the air fryer. Oh my God. It's so good.
Yeah, I guess I think about like a chicken cordon bleu. I just think there's just like a weird strip of ham in there. I'm like, I don't know if I need it.
That's like one of the best parts. You have the ham and the cheese in the middle.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I need the strip of ham. I think about the strip of ham and like I need to like not think about it anymore.
Would you prefer a different meat?
I guess I've never considered it until this like now.
Bacon?
You know, like that's like double down territory, right? Like now we're getting into the double down. The double down is a wild idea, by the way. The two chicken patties is the bread and then like the bacon and the cheese.
I've never heard of this.
It's a KFC thing that they did for a while where they like had a chicken sandwich that was two fried chicken patties sandwiching bacon and cheese.
That's too much, I think.
It's a lot. And then there was a restaurant in, I believe it's Montreal. The restaurant was called Joe Beef. And I don't know if it still exists. And I only know this because Emily and I have watched an obscene amount of Cooking Channel and Food Network stuff.
Joe Beef.
And there's this restaurant, Joe Beef, that like is like a very celebrated like culinary destination for like carnivorous inventiveness.
Okay.
And they made a double down that was like, instead of the two pieces of chicken, brace your heart before I say what I'm about to say. Two fried slabs of foie gras.
What the heck is foie gras?
Foie gras is
sounds French.
Is duck liver.
Ew.
Which is like ridiculously rich and like will, if eaten enough, and also it's like not like necessarily like super ethically brought into existence, is my understanding. If Emily Fox were here, she could talk us through it so much better than I can. But if you eat too much of it, you will die. It'll kill you. It's just too rich. It's too much.
Terrifying.
Yeah, so they did the foie gras double down in Canada. Stay away from that. Anyway, that's how we got there from chicken cordon bleu, which we got to from the chicken fingers. I haven't eaten dinner yet.
Yeah,
I thought dinner was going to show up before the podcast, and it showed up literally a minute before the podcast.
What did you order? Just so we know.
I have a burger.
A burger.
I have a burger down in the kitchen waiting for me.
A burger would be my last meal. And fries.
Super hyped. We got some fries, and there's a sweet potato fry.
Oh, I won't do that.
I'm so pumped.
No.
I'm
I can't.
So it's gonna be great.
So speaking of food, back to that's the segue. Yeah. They're enjoying chicken when Mr. Dreadlocks approaches the table.
Mm-hmm.
I love the move from Shirley here. My name's Shirley. Memorize it.
I mean, like,
baller move.
Star move.
Come on.
My name's Shirley. Memorize it.
Because she, like, and she holds the chicken out, and she, like, pulls it back when she says memorize. It's like, if I could flirt like Shirley. I mean, I'm married, so I guess it worked, whatever I did. But if I could flirt like Shirley.
I assume this is how you and Will got together. The name Sterling. The name Stage. Memorize it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Chang walks by and takes 8 fingers from Abed. Abed says he has an agreement with Chang. Annie says, well, if you get caught, you're going to get fired and have to eat like
so good. Yeah, so even just like the jokes are so on point in this episode.
They are.
Like, it's more than just the story structure stuff, the episode structure.
Yeah. Jeff tells Abed that next time he has more agreements, he should talk to Jeff first. And Abed explains that the deal is, in exchange for fingers, he got a 10% bump on every Spanish test for the group.
Yeah. Everyone's thrilled. Everybody. Yeah. Except for Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Not feeling it.
Loves that control, and right now he's losing it.
Mm-hmm.
Abed comes up with a system. Half the fingers were going out the back door. Everybody in our crew had a job.
Yeah. T-Bone was the bag man.
He'd move the fingers to a storeroom where 2 of the girls did the packaging. We could trust them not to eat the supply because Britta was a vegetarian. And Shirley figured if she stole, she'd go to hell. Then they hand things out to Annie. Annie was the leg man, the distributor. The crazy thing was, it was their food, and we were stealing it and giving it back to them like it was a big favor. Nobody asked any questions. Pierce's experience as a CEO had taught him how to keep the wheels from squeaking, and they give Dean Pelton some chicken fingers.
Yeah, bribery.
Yeah, and that's a lot of chicken fingers. When we see him eating, that's like, there's like 20 chicken fingers.
It makes me so hungry, Jess. They like have like these huge, like, I mean, they're not enormous. This is the thing, though. Like, they're like, you know, these like rectangular takeout boxes, like white takeout box. But you imagine like the way they carry them, it's got the heft, Jess, that it's like fully packed with those like long, super crispy, golden brown looking chicken fingers.
They look so good in this
episode. They look so good. Oh,
I have
God.
A little bit of a gripe with Dean later on in the episode. We'll talk about it when we get there.
Sure.
But we're now in the study hall. We see the group getting pampered. Trey and Pierce are playing video games. Dreadlocks kissing Shirley's hand. Someone's brushing Britta's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff was at the top. He was the boss. He asks everybody what is going on. He asks why Troy got a monkey.
Yeah.
It's an animal that looks like a dude. Why don't I have 10
of them? This is the debut of Annie's boobs, I believe.
Yes, this is the debut of Annie's boobs. Abed scored Annie a backpack that has 1,000,000 zippers. Annie dances and does the robot. I'm a robot.
I am programmed to love this backpack.
First of all, okay, if I wasn't already the Annie, I still have this backpack, this JanSport backpack, a black
backpack. You strike me as someone who loves a backpack.
I do. I love a backpack. Yeah. And I love pockets. Like, it had so, like, 1,000,000 gazillion pockets. And I had, like, a spot. Everything had a place. And it was glorious. I still have that backpack. I still love it. So I totally get where Annie's coming from. And that backpack looks legit.
Yeah.
Just, man.
I love a backpack. I've had the same backpack for probably like 5 years right now. And then I had the one before that for probably another 5. Like it seems like every 5 I like switch backpacks, but I'm all in on a backpack where at my age, I should probably have like something more closely resembling like a briefcase,
why would you
shoulder bag. Now I always perpetually want to look like I'm at my first day of school. Well, it's an important aesthetic for me to maintain.
A backpack is better for your back, right? Because if you have like a shoulder bag or a briefcase, you're like this, right? You're like sideways. You're
love
putting
a backpack.
Too much weight on one side.
Yes, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. And I mean, my co-host on my other podcast, Sarah, will get on my case about this. I don't even have a purse. I have a backpack purse. I will only do that from now on. You know why?
Incredible.
Arm movement. I have free arm movement all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I just love a backpack. I get made fun of by Emily for it.
Really?
Once in a while. I get made fun of from other people by it too. It's like, I like a backpack.
As long as you don't have like a backpack that has like, I don't know, like weird little drawings and cartoons.
No, it's very normal. It's like, it's got like black and shades of gray and silver.
Yeah that's an adult backpack. Right.
I mean, like, yeah, but like, it is like a, like maybe like an 18-year-old's backpack and I'm still rocking it. I feel
that's fine. I have the backpack from when I was in high school. So I think we're okay.
I'm loving it. I'm loving the backpack.
Jeff tells everyone who isn't in the study group to leave. Jeff thinks things are getting out of hand. Everybody's talking about Abed. Yeah, everybody's talking about how great Abed is. Mm-hmm. We find out Troy's monkey's name is Annie's boobs. Annie is upset.
Just love it.
Everyone starts fighting, and Jeff can no longer silence them.
Yeah, the hand does not work.
Doesn't work anymore.
It's a problem. So he's going to need to go speak with the boss, and he has to cut the line in order to do it. Luckily, he's still being allowed those privileges to get in.
Yes, he passes a bouncer, and there's a woman trying to make a deal for six fingers every Wednesday. She has a bicycle and teaches beginner tennis.
Mm-hmm.
We see a whiteboard showing the group's likes and needs, which I believe on our Patreon-only podcast when we previously covered this, I had you guess some of the characters.
That's familiar. Yep.
Jeff talks to Abed about ending their operation. He thinks it's out of control.
Yeah.
And Abed doesn't agree. He says the entire campus is controlled by our group. Our group is controlled by chicken, and the chicken is controlled by me. Yeah. You want to float?
Yeah, he's making himself a float, which looks really good.
And he's pouring the soda out of like one of those like whiskey decanters.
It's so great. He's at the top of the empire. He is Gustavo Fring. He's the king of chicken.
Yes, and that's the thing. He has all the control at this point, and obviously Jeff doesn't like that. Abed said he isn't doing a mafia movie anymore. In fact, he doesn't need to use movies or TV shows to talk to people anymore.
Now everyone speaks the same language.
Yes, chicken. Yeah. I understand people, and they finally understand me. Yeah. And I do think like this is also a great episode. I mean, beyond being hilarious and wonderful homages to mafia movies, it's such a great insight into Abed's psyche. I feel like this plus intro to film really just give us good ideas of like exactly what's going on with Abed and why he is the way he is.
Well, what I love is I don't think that this totally landed with me the first time I watched it, but watching it again this time, you know, we're, you know, kind of like cutting to the chase a little bit, but like the point that he has when he talks to Jeff is like, I need people to understand me so that I can help them. Like I can, like the people need me because I can help them, and I need them to get me so that I can help them. And like, I think that that's really, really lovely that like, that's sort of like the mission is like, I need to bring people to where I am, because if I can get them here, then I can help them go forward and go further. And like, that will have meaning. It's really nice. So like, he is like getting like steeped in the power of it all. But it is for, you know, a relatively noble purpose.
Right. I think the biggest thing for Abed is that he understands everybody, right? Like he repeatedly through these past 20 episodes has clocked people for like how they behave, especially Jeff, especially here in this scene.
Yes.
And yet people fail to understand him a lot of the time.
Correct.
And so it is kind of nice that this is a really good showing for Abed in this episode.
Yeah.
And Jeff says eventually people will get tired of chicken. And Abed calls out Jeff saying he just misses the taste of control.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the very thing that drove you to the storeroom is what would prevent you from properly running this machine or even being a cog in it. Your ego. Shots fired.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it for Jeff in the chicken ring.
Mm-hmm.
We lose Jeff and we gain some ice cream in the float, thanks to Eduardo.
Yes. Jeff has brought the entire group together minus Abed in some random classroom. He thinks Abed is out of control. Abed is drunk with chicken power. He's gone from lovable Johnny Five to evil Hal.
That's very funny. That's really good.
I did not understand that reference.
Johnny Five is the robot in, my God, Short Circuit. Okay. And Hal is the evil supercomputer from 2001, A Space Odyssey. So Johnny Five's, Johnny Five is alive. He's like, if you've never seen Johnny Five before, do yourself a favor and Google Johnny Five. He's like this, he's like kind of like like the Muppet of like the robot of the pop culture robot can.
Okay.
Like he's sort of like he's a Benjamin, yeah. Which is not great anymore.
He's like a low budget Wally.
Yeah, he's a Wally predecessor. You know, he's Wally's grandfather to some extent.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, and then Hal is like one of like the most classic sort of sci-fi villains.
Oh, it's just a red. Like laser.
He is effectively like a computer system.
Okay. He's not sort of cute what he as Johnny Five.
No, I just told you he's an evil supercomputer. Yeah. So you know, well, that's what they're saying is he's gone
he
from
looks
Johnny
like
Five.
The evil one from Wally.
Oh yeah. I guess
Wally straight up ripped
spoilers,
off.
Spoilers. You know, he just ruined the bad guy and Wally. Hopuya's not listening.
People should have watched it by now.
Hopuya hasn't yet. Unless
what's wrong with him? Why is he watching?
No, because he's saving it for the end of the month. Somebody tell Puya not to listen to this episode. I don't know if he's going to anyway, but keep him out of here. No one spoil right. Puya.
I'll tweet. I'll tweet. I'll tweet out after. Not to
very
watch
important.
It.
But anyway, the reference is good. Yes. Lovable Johnny Five to evil Hal works.
Yes. Everyone thinks that Jeff is just jealous because he's providing for them. Yeah. Pierce says Jeff isn't streets ahead. Mm-hmm. You want to boss me around? Get me an entourage. Get Troy a monkey. That's what a real boss does.
Yeah.
Yes. And Troy says they shouldn't be talking to Jeff without Abed's permission.
Should we be talking to Jeff without Abed's permission?
Annie tries to call him, but he's not picking up. I love her voicemail that she leaves. She's like, Jeff is here. Maybe we should get special jackets with chicken fingers on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Abed enters. They all cheer. Everybody's excited to see Abed.
Yeah. And no one cares when Jeff leaves.
No. In fact, Troy just slowly closes the door on him.
That's great.
Back in the cafeteria. Jeff is getting his lunch, not chicken fingers. Everyone is surrounding study group who are now wearing their new jackets. Mm-hmm. Starburns sits down with Jeff and he asks what they deserve. He gives Jeff the keys to the kitchen. There's a valve at the back of the chicken fryer that's not made anymore. Now, say someone were to remove it, the fryer wouldn't work forever.
Forever. There, unfortunately, does not appear to be. I just checked. Certainly not readily available. These chicken finger jackets. Feels like a mistake.
That would have been some fun merch.
There are some cool patches, the Greendale Finger Association.
I feel like that's probably the move, though, right? Because how often are you going to want to wear like a blazer with a chicken finger patch on it? I would rather get the patch and like throw it on a sweatshirt. You
relatively
know?
Often, I do think.
that's what an adult wears.
Yeah.
Throw the backpack away, but
no, I'm putting it on my backpack. You're right. I'm getting the patch. Good call.
So we're back in the study room. Abed gives Annie free notebooks, but she wanted College Ruled, and she dumps them all in the trash. I agree with Annie. College Ruled is the way to go.
Sure, but you just dump all those notebooks in the trash.
No, that's certainly wasteful. I would not.
Yeah, things are starting to turn. There's that. Also, the look that Allison Brie gives is so good. Pierce wanted a Travis in his entourage. This is a Travis as a middle name. Doesn't count.
Yeah, Troy's upset because Annie's boobs doesn't like the caviar Abed got them.
Yeah, but like he like doesn't even really know what he's mad about.
He just doesn't like it.
Yeah.
They were spoiled, fat, lazy. I'd give them everything, and somehow I'd lost their respect. So they did the only thing I could think of. I did what I thought Jeff would do. I sent them a message.
And then you hear the guitar solo heavy portion of Layla, and it's just like it's so perfect. Yeah. As you're just seeing like all of the ways in which he is like executed all of his mob hits. Annie's backpack has been like eviscerated and put on display. Annie's boobs is missing. What does Annie's boobs say? I wish you'd appreciated me more.
Yes.
In the note that's left behind.
Yeah, Britta gets gum in her hair. Pierce's TV had its cables cut. Yeah. And the best one is Abed feeding dreadlocks chicken fingers.
Yeah, in front of Shirley. That is the best one for sure. Oh my God, it's so great.
Yeah, and this is when the group approaches Jeff and tells him about all the things Abed has done. Britta's wearing a fedora. Jeff says he warned them all about this. Annie tells him he was right, and he demands they all say it together. You were right. Jeff says he'll have to take out Abed, and he smiles as he walks
for the good of the
away.
Group. Yes. For the good of all of them, he's going to take out Abed.
Yes. So we see him breaking into the Greendale kitchen late at night. He sees Abed at the fryer. Apparently, Abed is making tater tots.
Yeah. It's not that complicated, Jeff.
People are getting sick of chicken. But I was close. I just need a new food, a new system. I'm going to experiment with jalapeno poppers next and then zucchini circles.
Yeah. I don't understand it. It's not complicated. It's a Z instead of a C.
Yes. What were you close to? To the group? To people? And Abed says he doesn't want a special episode about it.
Well, it's not. It's not a special episode. It is a special episode, but not a special episode, I feel like. So he's good.
Yes. And this is like what you said before. Abed says, everyone else needs my help. That's what people don't get, is they need to get me. I just need to be able to connect to people like you can, and then I can make everyone happy.
Yeah. And I think like if I'm getting sort of like the vibe of what community starts to become, that it's like Abed needs to be in the Jeff Winger spot because he'll be better at it. Right? Like,
yeah, like Jeff can be the head of the group, but like not in a way that makes everybody happy.
Right.
And so, yeah. And I think we'll see this shift to like Abed. And then I do think that there's a different character that eventually kind of becomes, I don't know if I would say the head of the group, more like the heart of the group.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that like, it's definitely they're vying for power in the group, and it's, I don't know that necessarily either one of them would be the best person for the job, but they're the most obvious options, I think.
Right, right.
Yes. So Jeff is there to dismantle the fryer. And Jeff is like, don't you understand? Like, I'm the one who got you the fry cook job so I could have chicken. And then you turned it into a way to make everyone like you. Now I'm ashamed of myself and I'm very jealous.
Yeah.
So they make a deal.
They're going to put it past, they're going to put it in the, put the behind past us. And they're going to make the deal. Yeah. It's going to be like Knight Rider. They're going to form an alliance.
Yes.
Do you get the Knight Rider part?
Yeah, I know that there's like Kit is the vehicle, right? And that's voiced by Mr. Feeny.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
And David Hasselhoff drives the Knight Rider. So, they're going to be like the crime fighting team, the driver in the car.
Right.
Help me with people and I'll help you do a better job with people.
Doesn't Abed call Jeff Kit? Because I feel like Abed would be the Kit. Like he would be the car.
Yeah, but maybe he's, I think like they could both view themselves in the Hasselhoff spot.
Okay.
That like Abed is looking at Jeff as a vehicle to get him closer to people.
Oh, metaphors. Okay.
You know?
I think I don't know. I've never seen the show. I have no idea.
I think that makes sense. I think from Abed's perspective of what he's saying right now, he is the more natural Hasselhoff, even though you would be inclined to think of him as Kit.
As Kit. Okay.
Yeah.
And Abed insists on eating chicken fingers on the counter like 16 candles, which is a movie I know and love.
I've only seen it one time. I have like very few memories of 16
Were you Candles. Not like a big Molly Ringwald like 80s movie fan?
Not huge. Not enormous. Okay. You know, respect. You know, like what I've seen.
Yeah.
Big Ferris Bueller guy, like that is like my movie of that era.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was big into it for a while. I was big into like Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, all those.
Yeah.
And just like that, the mafia movie was over. I quit.
I know enough to know that like they emulate the shot.
They're just sitting on the counter. So things are back to normal. Now everyone's back to being a bunch of regular schnooks.
It's so good.
And I'm back to being a weirdo, back to watching from the outside for now. There's still not enough chicken fingers because as soon as our family moved out, a new syndicate moved in to take its place. But you know what they'll never make a replacement for? Friends.
Yeah, power loves a vacuum. It's Leonard is in charge of this new syndicate.
So Leonard is trading a goldfish for chicken fingers, and Garrett is the one who's working.
Got it.
Kitchen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Abed has been telling this whole story to Dean the whole time.
Yeah, and he just wants to know who stole hairnets from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Abed says someone with hair.
Someone with hair.
And this is where my gripe comes in with the Dean. It looks like he's dunking his chicken fingers in ketchup. Now, in my opinion, that is like a very low tier condiment to dunk chicken fingers into. Like, my first impulse is barbecue sauce. And then it would be honey. And then it would be like a honey mustard third. Mm-hmm. Ketchup would be like way low on that list.
Yeah. So this is interesting. Because I now reach, now I'm at a crossroads. on the first pass, I just totally let this go. And we just continue forward. I'm like, yeah. And then we like get into the after credit scene.
Okay.
And that gets me to my burger faster. So that's the first path.
Is that the chosen path or are you
taking the other path? That's the first path.
Mm-hmm.
The second path is where I reveal that I will dunk my chicken tenders in ketchup first every day of the week. That I will pick ketchup number one on my list. I don't care if it makes me a little tiny boy, but I am going to dunk my chicken tenders in ketchup because I love ketchup with chicken tenders and I think it's delicious.
This
and I'm here to fight about it. I'm choosing this path. Ketchup on chicken tenders is fine. Ketchup on hot dogs is also fine.
I think
this whole thing, everyone.
Why can't you put ketchup on hot dogs?
Everybody freaks out about ketchup as a condiment. Ketchup is delicious. Ketchup is great. But ketchup with your French fries, ketchup is good. Will says in the chat, ketchup is good. Ketchup is good. You dunk your chicken tenders into ketchup and that's going to taste delicious. Sure. Barbecue sauce, totally fine. Get some ranch, get some honey mustard, whatever. That's all fine. But sometimes what I like about the ketchup is that you know it as a baseline. You know exactly what ketchup tastes like. It's a very basic condiment. You don't want to overrule the chicken tender. So you get this familiar taste with this other familiar taste. You put the two familiar tastes together and they taste absolutely delicious. Ketchup on a chicken tender, I feel fantastic about it. Feel great about it. Now it's up to you. Do you want to continue the fight or am I going to go and get the burger?
I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I just think it's very like, there's so many other condiments in the world and I love ketchup. Like I am all about, we buy ketchup by like the big bottle because we eat a lot of French fries. It's my favorite food and I love ketchup on French fries.
Yeah.
I just feel like I like a Sweet Baby Ray's, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
I used to do chicken nuggets and honey when I was a kid, which still also holds up.
Yeah.
But yes.
I would love a chicken tender, a chicken nugget with ketchup. It makes me happy. It makes me feel alive again.
And do you have a specific brand of ketchup?
It's got to be Heinz. You don't
Thank
really have
you.
A choice.
Oh my God. If you said Hunt's, I was about to be very upset.
No, it's got to be Heinz.
This is okay. Now I can forgive you for
I think
the
it's literally, I believe that it's got to be Heinz might be the Heinz motto.
Oh my God. They incepted you. This is what marketing does.
Yeah. Hold on. It's got to be Heinz. Yeah. It's got to be Heinz ketchup. It has to be Heinz is the thing.
They should change it. They should get more loosey goosey. You know?
I had a different burger a week ago and I got French fries with it and it came with a bunch of Heinz ketchup packets and I was studying the ketchup packets and it has to be Heinz. It's got to be Heinz. So yeah, it's really drilled into my head right now. I'm going to put ketchup all over my sweet potato fries when I go downstairs. I don't care. I'm just going to do it.
Okay, that's fine. I don't mind. It's not a fry. That's acceptable.
Yeah, that's what I do.
We're in the after credits. Troy and Abed are showing the group their disappearing act behind bookshelves. Double escalator. Awesome. Awesome elevator.
Awesome elevator is great.
Everyone leaves and they go down and swap clothes.
Yeah. I had to rewind a couple of times to like fully catch what happened. Because I was like, did they
you
swap
didn't think
clothes?
They changed clothes?
I was like, did they swap clothes or did they change position?
That's
like,
so funny you say that because I watched the episode with commentary and Dan Harmon said that they digitally added in like a sweatshirt flying above the bookshelf because it wasn't clear enough to people what had happened. Mm-hmm. So even still, that wasn't enough for
me. No, not for me. I'm going to call this Streets Ahead. It's funny, but like it is a lower tier Streets Ahead for me, I think, is this one. But like in the episode where the concept of Streets Ahead is introduced, I mean, it would have to be pretty, it would have to be miles behind. Who's miles behind in order to not be Streets Ahead?
I like this one. I think it's like it's silly. It's not like, yeah, it's not laugh out loud funny.
Yeah. Let's get into some F community feedback. This is from that Chicken Finger Bandit. who writes and said, this is arguably Community's first full-on genre episode. It paved the streets ahead for brilliance to come, but it's still easily grounded in the reality of a community college, and the characters are all at their peak. The study group all feels authentic to their core character beats and extra hilarious. Abed obviously makes for a masterful good fella, but we do also have Jeff and his shush fingers, Britta and her sick cat, Shirley cat, chicken fishing dreadlock guy, Troy and Annie's boobs, Annie and Annie's backpack. Even Pierce is only slightly racist. Yes, he is. He does have a moment.
Didn't like that.
I can't imagine giving any of them less than four beans this week. I wonder how chicken fingers taste with a side of Meow Meow beans. Streets ahead. I don't know what Meow Meow beans are, so I can't weigh in. Yeah, I co-sign everything that the Chicken Finger Bandit has to say about this episode of Community.
Eric Divestine writes.
Yes, that Eric Divestine.
It is that.
Double underline it. It is that Eric Divestine. Let me say that.
Bolded, italicized, double strike through.
Yeah. Eric Divestine in italics.
Yes. Yeah. If the monkey had been named by a Twitter poll today, could the winning name have been anything other than Monkey McMonkey Face?
Yeah, because that's a thing, right? It's like Bodhi McBoatface.
I have no idea. What is that?
This is a thing that you and I are both not hitting correctly. There's like a Bodhi McBoatface. I don't know.
Is this like a Gen Z thing?
Yeah, there's some like meme stuff. I don't know. It was a thing. It was a thing.
I feel like I'm just so out of it with that type of stuff. I don't know.
Boat McBoatface was like voted on as a name. Bodhi McBoatface.
For a boat?
Yeah, it was for like a submarine or something like that.
Well, it's not even a boat.
That like they put out like a name our thing, name our research vessel, do it by poll.
It's a research vessel.
And then like enough people like gathered momentum and got it to literally become Bodhi McBoatface.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. The internet is wild. That Eric Divestine also wants to say, why didn't Starburn steal the fryer valve?
I don't know. Like, maybe he has an in with Leonard and Garrett and they're all working together. So he just wanted to get Abed out of there. Yeah. You know?
Let's do another food fight. This came in while we were talking from Jank. Are tater tots fries?
I've never heard that question before.
So this is
interesting. And hard about this.
Yes.
I don't think so. They're too close to like a hash brown, which I would not call a fry.
Yeah. I am firmly on team tater tots are not fries.
Okay.
I don't believe they are. They're like little potato nuggets. They're delicious. I mean, I guess they are fried. And so then you're like, so what is a fry? It's like fried food. Then are you telling me that chicken fingers are a fry? That
exactly.
Jalapeno poppers are a fry?
Where
like,
does it end?
Is that where we're going?
Yeah.
Because if that's how we're expanding the definition, then sure, tater tots are fries. But if we're talking about like French fries, which is a specific thing, and let's not get too right. cute because we all know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Tater tots are not that. Not
right.
for me.
I agree. I do like a tater tot, and I also will dunk them in ketchup.
Yes. This is from Riley. That Riley. Riley says, knowing this was such a vital episode for Josh, I'm curious how Josh thinks it compares to when you guys watched it in season zero to now. How does the character stuff, such as with the Jeff and Abed moment, work? Does this episode get even better seen with full context, or does that not impact it? Yeah, if it could have gotten better, it got better. This is the best episode of Community for me so far. I guess, like, technically I have a 4 on the board. But I have many 4.2s out of 4.2 right. on down the hatch. This is in like an elite stratosphere for me, that will be very difficult to beat. Makes the Jack Black one being a 4 should not be a 4 because this is so clearly like a perfect episode of Community for me.
Yes, but luckily you're not the only grader, so.
I know. There's a rage for.
I appreciate it.
Meow meows. Chang, as mentioned, he will hold it down at the back of the line for these fingers with 3 fingers. We'll replace the meow meow beans with chicken fingers this week. Pierce just a half point ahead. I think he's busted down because I don't like what he says. I forget the exact line. He's something.
He calls Abed like. An Arab, or like that's how he refers to him rather than his actual name
in a really derogatory way. That's
yes.
terrible. So that's busting him down. But I do think he's funny in the episode, and the streets ahead stuff is great. I gave Britta a 4. She's hysterical to me. I probably could have bumped her up to a 4. I'm going to. She's going to be in this 4.5 slot with Troy and Shirley and Annie. All of them are really, really great this week. I think that they just like all have exceptional moments for each of their characters. Shirley, the name Shirley, memorize it. It's just so great. Annie throwing out the backpacks is hysterical. Britta, like just like subtle things, wiping the grease off her fingers. And Troy is just amazing in this episode as well. But the perfect fives are going to go to Jeff and Abed. Like, I think that this is like a perfect Jeff episode. I think this is a perfect Abed episode. I think like everybody is basically really, really great this week for the most part. Yeah, I think the family in italics does a great job here, and it's reflected in the meow meows for this
week. Yeah. My numbers are very similar to yours. I also gave Jeff and Abed perfect fives. I do sometimes complain about episodes being too Jeff heavy all the time in season one. This is like the perfect exception for that. When he has Abed to bounce off of and everybody else is like perfectly firing on all cylinders. I mean, he earned this five. Abed, I mean, you can't, it's such a good Abed episode, such a good insight into how he thinks, how he operates, why he does the things he does. So many people get 4.5s from me. Britta, Troy, Shirley, and Annie. I didn't feel like it was fair to give any of them more or less than the same. You know, they had to get the same because I feel like they just all were perfect. Not perfect to get a five, but because they weren't like in such centered roles to me. Like you have to really be in the meat of the episode to get a five. But Pierce obviously doesn't get that 4.5 because of the comments he makes. He gets a 3. I could have given a 3.5. I don't know. He says stuff and it just gets on my nerves. So he gets a 3 from me. Chang, I gave a 2.5. He's there. He doesn't get a bagel because he did arrive and he did do something. I don't think he did enough for me to warrant anything higher than a 2.5. So no movement, actually. The only slight movement in our season one character rankings are now Jeff and Britta are now tied in 4th.
Okay.
With your bump up to Britta. So really tight here, besides Abed, who with those fives, he is simply running away with it for the season one MVP title, obviously. He is a full 10 points ahead of Shirley,
ahead.
Who's in second place. Yes.
Streets ahead. Not miles ahead yet, but streets ahead. Dean's list. There was a moment where we were both in lockstep that this goes to Starburns.
Yes.
I ended up going with Dean because of a protest vote, because I'm fine with him eating chicken fingers with ketchup.
That's when you changed it.
Yeah.
Honestly, Dean is very funny in this episode, so I don't mind it.
He's wonderfully used. And you know that this matters to me because I don't love Dean running away with his own category. I think it's unfair, but gotta be true to the Dean.
Yep. Episode ratings. I feel like this shouldn't come as a surprise to people, what we're gonna rate the episode, but you go ahead and
it's
go
a
first.
4. It's a perfect 4. I can't do a bit. I'm not gonna do a joke. This is my favorite episode of Community.
Yeah. I thought for like a half a second about giving it a 3.9, but here's the thing. It's like Down the Hatch. There's more than one episode that's going to get a 4 from me. This is a perfect episode of Community. Like, every single character is so funny. It's so well done. I couldn't not give it a 4 in good conscience. Yeah. So I also gave it a 4. My first 4 I've given out. Big deal.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Yes. Only your second. So still a big deal.
Yeah. And only the first one that I really mean.
Yes, exactly. The audience was pretty much on point with us. 3.87 from them. Lots of fours given out. Current average 3.96. Easy. Number one with a bullet.
Yeah. It should probably stay up in this range at least. I'll be interested with paintball, which one will be ahead.
I don't know. I think paintball might eke it out.
It's got like an easy vote, I would imagine, right? Like you see paintball, you give paintball a 4.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I feel like season two's paintball is also really well done. So I could see, I'm curious to see the paintballs up against each other, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is like an easy number one, number one episode. So 3.96, ahead of Science of Illusion with a 3.67.
Yeah.
So
dope.
Yeah.
Wow. 2 in a row right at the top.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you can see, like, I would say, and it's funny, the bottom two episodes are seasons 1 and 2.
Episodes 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it makes sense. They're only getting better. But speaking of only getting better from here.
Yeah.
Next episode.
You said it's going to be a tough act to follow.
Yeah. This episode is not my favorite. We'll get into it next week. It's called The Art of Discourse, season one, episode 22. Yeah, not my favorite. So getting into the guest for next week, when I talked to my husband about if he wanted to come on for season one to talk about Community, he immediately picked this episode knowing that I don't like it.
Whoa.
So it'll be interesting. I think I'm the only one.
Because he wanted to like support you or because he wants to trigger you?
I think because he wants to trigger me.
Oh, no.
I don't know if he like, I don't, he doesn't love it. Like he's not someone who like, you know, he loves to like troll me with like playing the Puppets song and all of that from
what should I be braced for? The chatter as we're doing this live indicates, not a great one from Stick.
It's to me, it's the type of humor that is so not my thing.
Yeah.
Like it's, to me, it's very like low grade humor.
Okay.
And it just kind of like, it gives me that like uncomfy feeling for, and here's the thing. It's only, there's a few different storylines. It's not like this one where it's kind of all encompassing. And one of the storylines I think is fine. The other one is the one that like just gives me like I don't really like it. It's down there. Like, you know, I don't like season four. For me, this one is down there in terms of like, there might be a season four episode that's in my opinion, better than this one.
Whoa. Okay. So, that bad.
It's, my goodness. I don't like it, but here's the thing. I think it's interesting. I want to see what you think because there's been episodes where like, I really love it.
Heavily influenced. So
yes, but I mean, I feel like you were heavily influenced for a few of the other ones and you still form your own opinion about them.
Most of the time. Not all of them. Okay. Interesting. I think I'll try and watch this one early and then watch it again. I'll try and do this one twice because it sounds like I should take this one seriously.
I mean, it doesn't take itself seriously.
Okay. All right.
It's fine. Like, it's just not my favorite. It's definitely my least favorite season one episode. And I just think, like, especially because it's following Chicken Fingers, like, it's such a tough act to follow.
It's going
to
be hard. Like, even, like, a pretty good episode, like, when Lost does this, like, it's always, like, difficult to, like, you know, one of the worst episodes of Lost follows the, like, what many people consider to be, like, the consensus best episode of Lost, like, The Constant.
Yeah, I was just going to say
The episode
constant,
after The Constant is not good.
Yeah.
Certainly by comparison, it's not great. And so it's pretty low on most people's lists. So I think this is a thing that happens. Follow up a really good showing.
It has some silly moments. It's not season four, so it's not like every single storyline is bad. It's just one in particular that I just feel like they spend too much time on unnecessarily. So we'll get into it next week. But Will is coming on. He's going to talk about it
I'm
with
psyched.
Us.
Will and I just played Dungeons & Dragons together in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. And while the session didn't fully go our way, both Will's character and my character were knocked unconscious for the first time, I believe, for both of us.
Yes.
I have to say, Will had one of the most baller rounds of play that I've ever seen. He did great. He did really, really amazing. He did it on top of a lion.
He was very excited about that.
Makes no sense to anybody who doesn't know Dungeons & Dragons at all, but Will was a minotaur riding a lion, and he shot a bow and arrow at a red wizard who had four copies of himself, and he knocked out all three of the copies and even hit the actual wizard. It was baller.
That's a hard move.
It was really badass. It was perfectly implemented. It was just incredible. So I'm psyched to talk to Will about that, if nothing else, on the podcast.
Yes.
End up talking about Dungeons and Dragons instead of Community. This is going to end up being also next week will be our last episode of Community building for, I think, like, we're going to have a 1 week break after that because I'm heading out of town for a little mini vacay and I'm not going to be able to do the podcast. So sounds like what we'll do is next week we're going to talk about The Art of Discourse, and it's going to leave such a bad taste in everybody's mouth that we're going to have to take a week off the podcast.
Exactly. But then we're going to come back in with a bang for paintball.
Is it paintball right afterwards?
Yes.
All right. So we'll make people work for it. That's great. You love it. You got to love it. All right. Jess, this is the point. Tell me what shit the 90s have taught you recently.
Yes. So we're still in season three of Boy Meets World. Kind of disappointed with the lack of Topanga. I feel like I say this all the time. Like, more Topanga on the show is always a good thing for me. But Dawson's Creek, still riding that crazy train. And then coming up for July, we have some really exciting bonus content coming out. The teaser that we've kind of put out is that it is like movies based on books. We have two podcasts, and both guests people will definitely recognize. The first guest coming on to talk to us is going to be LaTanya Starks, the lovely yeah. LaTanya. And she's going to be talking Matilda with us.
Oh my God. That is just like such a perfect pair of podcaster and material. I'm hyped
about
it? That. Yeah, that's
dope. I'm really, really excited. It's been in the works for a while. I feel like we've been talking about to her about it since January. So it's finally happening.
I got to text her right now. You're podcasting about Matilda.
Yeah. Matilda is one of my favorite childhood movies. Miss Honey, The Trunchbull. Is it Brucey in the cake? That cake always is like the epitome of what I think a good cake looks like, even though it's probably disgusting.
I know it.
So that's exciting. That's coming up in July for us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram if you want to check everything out.
Amazing. If you want to check out everything that we've got going on post-show recaps, please do. Again, as mentioned before, it's the start of the month. This is the best time to sign up. You get so much bang for your buck when you sign up for the post-show recaps Patreon. If you do it just at that $5 level, you're getting a ton of incredible access to bonus podcasts that are exclusive to the patrons of post-show recaps. Plus, you get community building early. You get down the hatch early. You want to do it. If you want to boost that up a little bit further, why don't you come and find the best place on the internet? That would be the post-show recaps patron Discord, where everybody's amazing. Everybody has such a great time. So many different conversations, whether it's about community or going to war over tater tots, whether or not they're French fries.
That was a big argument.
Fiercely debated, fiercely, hotly debated, but with much respect for everybody involved in the debate. It's my favorite place on the internet. I'm super available there. I love hanging out with people in the Discord, in our server. So please consider signing up. It's the perfect time to do it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Give yourself the reward of the best place on the internet. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Get your feedback in for the next episode of Community Building, community@postshowrecaps.com. You can also tweet at me and Jess at Rand Howard, at the Jess Sterling. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Give us your ratings, your reviews. We greatly appreciate them. And we will be back next week with Will on Lionback to talk about the art of discourse. Until then, Corey B, take us away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up with Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here.